Our text today is the parable of the lost son, or of the prodigal son, as we usually say. What does prodigal mean? A prodigal is someone who is reckless or wasteful. Reckless or wasteful, and that describes the son who left home and wasted his inheritance. To get the full context of this parable, we need to start at the beginning of the chapter in Luke 15. The first three verses give us important information on how to interpret the parable. Verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to Jesus to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them. Jesus told the parable in response to the scribes and Pharisees. They were complaining about Jesus receiving sinners and eating with sinners. And the same complaint will be present in the parable. The parable was specifically meant to address the grumbling over eating with sinners. But Jesus didn't just give them one parable, he gave them three parables. The parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. The first two parables are more generalized. They lay out the principle that Jesus will build from. Okay? He said, if a man has a lost sheep, wouldn't he go out and find the sheep? And when he finds it, wouldn't he rejoice? Wouldn't he want everyone else to rejoice with him? Or if a woman loses a silver coin, wouldn't she search the whole house to find it? And when she finds it, wouldn't she rejoice? Wouldn't she tell her friends and her neighbors? The principle being, when we lose something valuable to us, we are glad to recover it. We don't complain about getting it back. We are happy and grateful. And this is how the angels in heaven react when just one sinner repents. They have joy. Jesus said that at the end of both of those first two parables. Meaning, you Pharisees should be rejoicing when a sinner repents. They've returned to God. Why are you complaining about that? This means, of course, that the sinners return to God by going to whom? Jesus. To get to God, you have to go to Jesus. The tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to Jesus to hear him. That means they were seeking him out. They were desiring to learn from him. That's a good thing. It shows that they were repentant sinners. The parables make that clear. The angels rejoice when a sinner repents. Why aren't you rejoicing when these tax collectors and sinners come to me? When professing Christians are questioned for being best friends with unbelievers, or when they start to associate with worldliness, what do we always hear them say? Ah, but Jesus ate with sinners, right? Jesus ate with sinners. He hung out with the bad guys, so I can too. Well, that excuse doesn't work, because the sinners here that Jesus ate with were repentant sinners. They were being sanctified by Jesus' word. The story of the prodigal begins in verse 11, and this parable will be much more direct in exposing the scribes and Pharisees. A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me." So he divided to them his livelihood. Notice right away that the father had two sons. Not just one, he had two. There was an older son and a younger son. And it was the younger who asked for his inheritance early. In the Mosaic law, inheritances were usually given when the father died. So this would have been an unusual situation. The father was still living, but the younger son wanted the money ahead of time. Proverbs 20, verse 21, says, "An inheritance gained hastily at the beginning will not be blessed at the end." God's word says it is not smart to take an early inheritance. So, the younger son did not know his Proverbs, or he just didn't care. Either way, he was not following godly wisdom, but he would learn his lesson. His early inheritance would not result in blessing for him. The son left home and journeyed to a far country, which from the Jewish perspective would mean a Gentile country. And it was in that country that the son wasted his possessions with prodigal living. The implication is that he spent his money on sinful things. Down in verse 30, the older son accuses him of spending his money on prostitutes. But as Psalm 32 says, many are the sorrows of the wicked. After the son had spent all of his money, Jesus says a severe famine arose in that land. He probably wasn't expecting a famine, was he? Do you think he planned ahead for that scenario? No. And now he had no money to help him survive. Let this be a reminder to you to save your money, because you never know when the next emergency will be. The son ended up getting a job feeding swine, pigs. And again, think about that from the Jewish perspective. Pigs were unclean animals for the Jews. That detail was probably intentional for Jesus' audience. Not only did the son go off to a Gentile country, now he was with unclean pigs. And he was tempted to eat their food. That's how bad his situation became. He became one with the unclean pigs. And this is when the son learned his lesson. Verse 17 says, "He came to himself," meaning he came to his senses. He started thinking straight. He had not been thinking straight before because his sin was clouding his judgment. That's what sin does. It distorts your thinking. It distorts your perceptions of things. Your sin will obscure your sense of reality. But thankfully, the son's eyes were opened, and he remembered his father. He remembered how good his father's house was. Even the hired servants had it good. They were in a much better position than he was. It's interesting that he came to his senses regarding food. I think that reveals a sacramental theme in the story. God often uses food to open people's eyes. Eating the fruit of the tree of knowledge opened eyes and gave wisdom. In Luke 24, on the road to Emmaus, after the resurrection, the disciples didn't know they were with the resurrected Jesus until he broke bread with them. Their eyes were opened at the table. It was similar for the prodigal. His eating situation opened his eyes to the truth, and he knew where he needed to go to be fed and nourished. So the son returned to his father, and he was truly repentant and humble. He even planned what to say when he arrived. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants." The son planned out his repentance ahead of time, which is a good practice for you to follow. When you've committed a big sin against someone, make sure you go to them with thorough repentance. It is not respectful to be vague and short with the person you've hurt. Oh yeah, I'm sorry about that. Please forgive me. Be thorough. Plan it out. Acknowledge your sin and acknowledge the damage you have caused. That is the sign of true repentance. Now, when the father saw the son in the distance, what did he do? It says he had compassion. He ran to him, he hugged him, and kissed him. He put the best robe on him, a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet. He threw a party for him, a feast with the fatted calf. He said, "Let us eat and be merry, for my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." The father welcomed the son back with open arms and with enthusiasm. He lavished him with gifts, restoring him to his status as a son. What we're seeing here is that this father was a loving and gracious father. Notice that he said the son was lost and is found. That connects this parable to the first two. The prodigal son was the lost sheep. He was the lost coin who was found. And the father rejoiced accordingly, just like the shepherd and just like the woman. He also said the son was dead and is alive again. The theme of death and resurrection connects to the season of Lent, since Lent prepares us for Good Friday, and Easter Sunday. In the parable, it's used in a spiritual way, right? The son wasn't physically dead, but his sinful condition was a death. The broken relationship with his father was a death. There was a spiritual loss that took place. But as we know, the spiritual always affects the physical. The son's spiritual death had consequences on his body. It left him starving in a pig pen during a famine. He would have physically died had he not come to his senses. Likewise, his spiritual resurrection resulted in outward physical blessings. His body was clothed and his belly was filled. The spiritual and the physical are connected. Think back now to the original context. Tax collectors and sinners were received by Jesus, and he ate with them. That sounds like the father in the parable, doesn't it? He received and ate with the prodigal, who was repentant. The younger son represents the tax collectors and sinners, which further proves that they were repentant. They had come to their senses. By drawing near to Jesus, they were returning to their heavenly Father. At this point, the parable shifts its focus to the older son. Who do you think he represents? When the older son heard the party going on, and when he heard about his brother returning, he became angry and would not go in. It says the father went out to plead with him, which is interesting. The father previously went out to welcome the younger son. It was the older son who was on the outside now, and the father went out to meet him. You see, the father loved both of his sons despite their sins. He pursued both of his sons. He ran toward both. But the older son only had complaints. He complained about the food, the dinner party. "You've never thrown a party like this for me, Dad." He resented the fact that the father was celebrating the younger, sinful son. And the son's repentance didn't change anything. He was not going to eat with him. Who does that sound like? It sounds like the scribes and Pharisees complaining about Jesus eating with sinners. The older brother represents the scribes and Pharisees, and the parable exposes them as the bad guys. It's the older brother who is condemned in this parable, not the prodigal. The prodigal son did bad stuff, but he repented and was restored. It was the older son who had pride and greed and cared only for himself. He was a sinner too, but we never see him repent in the parable. Do you think he went into the party or not? This parable was a parable of judgment against the Jewish leaders. If they had ears to hear, they would have recognized themselves as the older brother. They should have rejoiced that sinners were repenting and returning to God. If they wouldn't do that, they would be left outside, separated from the table that Jesus prepares. Some of you here this morning might be like the younger son. Perhaps you strayed from the faith and committed public scandalous sin. Or some of you might be like the older son. Maybe you've never denied the faith. Maybe you have an outward appearance of righteousness. But secretly, on the inside, you're a hypocrite. You're self-righteous, resentful, envious. Both types of sons are in sin. Both types need to repent and change. And that is possible because the Father greatly loves both sons. The Father loves both. He wants both to have a seat at the table. No matter which one you might identify with, you can always repent and be restored as a son or daughter of God. He is eager to receive you. He is eager to give you his robe, his ring, and his sandals. Resurrection life is offered to you by the power of the Holy Spirit. You can always be restored when you repent, because Jesus, the man without sin, became sin for you. A sin offering on the cross. He took the penalty of the prodigals and the penalty of the Pharisees onto himself. Jesus became one who was dead, but was made alive. The disciples thought Jesus was lost, but he was found. Jesus has secured spiritual life and physical life for you. In 2 Corinthians 5, Paul says, "We are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you to be reconciled to God." That reminds me of the father pleading with the older son, desiring reconciliation. That is what God desires for all people. Be reconciled to God. If you are in Christ, then you are a new creation. Rejoice in that for yourself and for other people, and for the apostates who come back home, who repent and are restored to church membership. Don't grumble about that. Be thankful that you serve a God who receives repentant sinners and who eats with repentant sinners.